It is because Christ loves us that we are able to love him as well as others. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
There are a lot of things that we should, as Christians, understand about our salvation. And I think probably one of the most important things that we should understand is the fact that having salvation gives us the ability to complete good works. And I want to make a distinction here, as I've tried to do throughout this whole series. Completing good works is not something we do to earn or even maintain our salvation. We complete our good works because we love God. And it should be a natural outpouring of our love for him that prompts us to do the things he has pre-designed that we should do. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that we already have the victory. He says this in Romans 8:1, quote, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit," unquote. Now, to be in Christ means to literally be an authentic Christian. Once we receive salvation, we are transferred out of this world and into the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:13 reminds us of this truth. It is because of our position in Christ that we already have the victory. Now, of course, Satan does not want us to become aware of our new position. If Satan cannot stop us from becoming believers, well, the next best thing is for him to help us live defeated lives, miserable lives as believers. This is accomplished through a lack of awareness and a lack of reality that is connected to the true new position we have in Christ. Now, the fact that we are no longer condemned, and I just read that verse, Romans 8:1. The fact that we are no longer condemned, and by the way, that is present perfect tense, meaning that it is ongoing. Right now, authentic Christians in this life are no longer condemned and are no longer being condemned by God. And that means that our works, or lack of them, do not bring us into a state of condemnation. Here's another quote that I think is very interesting. Someone has said this, quote, "If our lack of condemnation depended upon our walk, we would be in trouble. Who among us has such a perfect walk that he could present it to God and God would find no fault, no condemnation in it? Who among us always walks after the Spirit and never walks after the flesh? Who among us would say that our walk is perfect and without sin?" 1 John 1:8-10. Who among us would say that we do not need an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous one, for those times when our walk is not what it should be? All thanks be to our gracious and merciful Savior that our justification and freedom from condemnation depends only upon our Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood, and his unending life. If it depended upon our walk, we would all bathe in the lake of fire forever, unquote. And that's from the pastor at Middletown Bible Church. Now, prior to becoming Christians, we were fully condemned, and no mistaking it. We were under God's wrath. And it is only those individuals who trust Christ for salvation who are then moved out from under God's wrath. By faith, we become partakers of the divine nature in which we have, quote unquote, escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, unquote. And that's 2 Peter 1:4. Peter's words complement Paul's in Romans. We have escaped, meaning it's already done. It's a done deal. Paul asked the question, who shall deliver me? He asked that question in Romans chapter 7. And he provides the answer to his own question in Romans 8 verse 2, which says this, quote, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, unquote. Because of salvation, we have been freed from having to follow the law for salvation. Because of our sinful nature, the law is only capable of accusing and ultimately killing us. It places us under the condemnation of death. It has absolutely no power to save. But that in itself doesn't mean that the law is unrighteous. And Paul talks about this as well. The law is perfectly righteous. It does its job perfectly. It condemns those who are in need of condemnation. It places all under the judgment of death. That is the function of the law. Through salvation, though, God sets us from this law, placing us under another law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, being in Christ means that we are no longer under the tutelage of the law. The last part of Romans 7 was a description of a believer's struggling, failing condition. And in chapter 8, Paul encourages the believer to focus on his perfect, unfailing position in Christ Jesus. The more we comprehend and understand God's facts about our true position in Christ, the more this will affect change and create a new, the actual condition of our lives once we become Christians. Now, Satan fights with all of his might to keep Christians from realizing what actually takes place within us with the process of salvation. We are saved from a condition in which we were unable to help ourselves to a position in which the treasures and riches of Christ are ours, including our blamelessness in Him because of the fact that God imputes Christ's righteousness to our account. And this is for the purpose of bringing Himself great glory. We glorify Him as we serve Him, not ourselves. Because I'm now saved, I have the ability to obey the law, something I could not do from the heart before I became a believer. Prior to becoming a believer, the best I could do was obey the law externally, meaning I could do the outward works. However, my heart was such that I could not obey the law perfectly. And this is exactly what Jesus means when he tells us that if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And that's in Matthew 5, 27 through 28, part of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. Anyone can act as though they're not lusting on the outside. But God sees what goes on in the mind and the heart of the individual, which is something that other people are not able to see. So we can fool other people, can't we? But we cannot fool God. You know, it kind of reminds me of Jonah, who was called to witness to a people group that was not part of the nation of Israel. He was called to witness to the people of Nineveh. They were Gentiles. He hated the people of Nineveh because they were part of the Assyrian Empire, and it's very possible that Nineveh was the actual capital of Assyria. They were known for their atrocities. They were known for their brutality. And when God gave Jonah the threefold command, get up, go to Nineveh, and preach against them, Jonah got up and he ran. He ran from God. He actually thought that he could hide from God. He couldn't. He could not hide from God any more than our inner thoughts are hidden from God. An unsaved person has no capacity to do anything except live in the flesh. The Christian, on the other hand, and again, the true Christian, the authentic Christian, the one who has experienced that spiritual transaction which Jesus discusses with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that transaction which takes place in the life of an individual, causing him to go from Satan's kingdom of darkness to God's kingdom of light. That Christian has the power and ability given to them by the indwelling Holy Spirit to live according to the Spirit. This is a decision that Christians need to actively make on a daily basis and every time temptation comes our way. Do we engage the temptation resulting in sin? Do we acquiesce to it? Or do we resist it? Because God is in us, providing us with the ability and the strength to resist. Now, only Christians have this ability because of God's indwelling Spirit. The unsaved do not have that ability, though they can appear on the outside as if they are resisting temptation. They can appear to be one thing, while inside there's something else entirely. Christians can still do that because we still have the flesh, the sin nature. But we also have the Spirit of Christ living within us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And if we rely on Him in His strength, we will overcome the temptation. Does this mean a Christian will never sin? No. It means that ideally, the Christian has the ability to resist every sin, but unfortunately will fall at times. The Christian should always endeavor to allow the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation in and through him or her. He should never actively seek to follow temptation. What happens when a Christian does sin? There is forgiveness upon humble and honest confession. The saved person's life in totality cannot be said to be dominated by the flesh. He may fall into sin, but he will not persist in sin. That's what John tells us in 1 John chapter 3. By the Spirit's conviction, by confession, and if needed, by chastening, 1 Corinthians 11:31 through 32, that individual is brought back to the path of obedience. The believer at any given time may manifest any of the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19 through 21 tells us this. But his life will not be dominated by the works of the flesh, because they which do, present tense, keep on doing, those who persist in doing these things, is what we're told there, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, Galatians 5:21, and then compare that to 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11 and Ephesians 5:5. Now, at the same time, the Bible makes it clear that the true believer can be controlled by the flesh. Romans 8 does not deal with this because Romans 13:12 through 14 does. And we can also look at 1 Corinthians 3:1 through 3 and Galatians 5:16 through 25. It is a terrible abnormality for a believer who is literally in the Spirit to walk as the man who is in the flesh, and for a new creature in Christ to walk as a mere unregenerate man, 1 Corinthians 3:3. But sadly, it does happen. You know, the reality for the Christian means a growing away from the desire to follow the dictates of temptation. It should mean fewer and fewer instances of sinning by following the desires of the flesh. The Christian must believe and appropriate the truth of God's word, understanding that the new life we have in Christ includes a brand new position, and this position allows us to overcome sin. Well, that is our show for today. I thank you so much for joining me. We'll continue on with this next time, and we're getting to the end of our Finishing the Race series, and we'll be starting something new. But until we meet again, may God open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.